In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
One of the greatest memories of my childhood summers was the ice cream truck. Now, I don't see them around here. Maybe it's because we're rural. Maybe because it's a thing of the past. I don't know. The ice cream truck was this side-paneled van that would come down the street and play music over a loudspeaker and pull up to the curb every block or so, and kids would, you know, beg their parents for money and run out with their coins in hand, and someone would lean out the back window and get you your drumstick or your ice cream sandwich or your fudgesicle or whatever treat you wanted. It was a great thing for the summer evening. Probably the bane of many parents, but the delight of many, many kids. And a couple of summers in a row, we had the same truck, and there was a grown son drove, and the older dad stood in back. He took the money, and he handed out the treats. You could tell it was his favorite thing in life to be able to hand out treats to the kids. He was our favorite ice cream man, not just because he brought the treats, but he engaged each one of us. He always asked our names, and he remembered many of them. And when you think about how big his route must have been, if you got the same thing twice, he'd often remember your favorite. Mostly, he seemed to be happy doing that job. He cherished every minute of it. You know, as kids, we could tell. A kid can tell when someone's happy doing what they're doing. But looking back as an adult, I could say, here is a man that absolutely cherished life. You could just see that he loved what he was doing. Now, the interesting thing is this man was completely blind. This ice cream man, not the driver. the guy in back. Not just legally blind, but completely blind. He had lost his eyes in a work accident when he was younger. And probably after a lot of grieving and a lot of adjustment, this is how he chose to live out his retirement, was running the back of the ice cream truck. He could tell the money by feel. I mean, mostly with kids, it was coins. I suspect if there were bills, his son would help him. But he knew how much money it gave him by feel. He knew where each treat was by the compartment it was in. He learned our names by our voice. He learned our names by what we ordered. You know, I hadn't really thought about him in decades. I mean, it's someone that, you know, from your childhood, and then you forget about him until my own vision problem cropped up last year. And I thought, I wonder, you know, what he's doing. And I realized that's 40 years ago. He's probably with the Lord by this point. But it's often not until something is taken away that we truly cherish it. And I suspect with this man, it was when his life was nearly taken in that accident and his vision for sure, that he eventually learned to really, really cherish life. In our two readings today, we encounter two individuals who were paralyzed, could not walk. In the reading from Acts, we have Aeneas, paralyzed 8 years, couldn't walk for 8 years. In the Gospel, another paralytic, paralyzed 38 years, could not walk for that long of a time. Now, with Aeneas, Peter heals him. We don't really know his response, as the story kind of just cuts off and he goes on to raise Tabitha. But with a paralytic, we get the stories fleshed out a little bit more. We get a few more details. He gets criticized by the Pharisees for breaking the religious rules, for carrying his mat on the Sabbath. He's quizzed about who healed him, and while he knew Jesus' face, he didn't know who he was, he didn't know his name, and there was a big crowd in the place, and Jesus had already disappeared into the crowd. But I think most telling about this paralytic in John's Gospel is that after he's healed, where does Jesus find him? It says in the Gospel, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. In the temple. Something to be said for that. I mean, after 38 years of laying in one spot, you can finally walk. He could have gone anywhere. He could have gone to the marketplace. He could have found a relative's house. He could have gone to the bars. But he goes to the temple. He goes to the house of God. And after he meets Jesus and eventually he learns his identity, he proclaims him to everyone that'll listen. It was Jesus that healed me. It was Jesus that cured me. It was Jesus that told me I could lift up my bed and go home, and now I can walk. When you consider these two fellas, bedridden for 8 and 38 years, now able to walk, it's going to be something they don't ever take for granted again. something they will cherish for the rest of their days. Now that's true for the fellows in our story. How much more so with Tabitha, who actually died and was brought back? Now every now and then we hear about a person who faces death and survives. Sometimes a near-death experience, sometimes overcoming what would have been a terminal illness. But when that happens, this is someone who will likely cherish every day, someone who will likely cherish every breath, cherish every moment, realize that every day is indeed a gift. And I think back to that blind ice cream man from my childhood and how much he cherished life after his accident. And I wondered, do we have to lose it before we cherish it? Is that just in our nature? Or can we kind of overcome that? Can we learn to cherish our blessings sooner than that? Now, cherish doesn't mean just be thankful for. It doesn't mean just to enjoy them. Cherish means to hold dear. It means to hold as most beloved, hold in the heart continually. And maybe we find it easy to cherish certain things like our children, our family, our friends. But what about so many other blessings that we get, both earthly and then especially our spiritual blessings? Maybe if we can begin to hold dear to those ordinary things before we lose them, then we'll also learn to cherish the God who provided them in the first place. It's one thing to cherish the gift. It's quite another to cherish the giver. As a banker, I've seen some interesting sides of humanity. Most of the time, just ordinary. Sometimes it can be quite beautiful, and quite interesting, quite lovely. Sometimes it can be utterly disgusting, to be completely honest. Siblings fighting over mom's money is the worst I've ever seen. And you can probably imagine how it happens. One time, this is a true story, a mom passed away in the morning. Daughter went to the bank, she had a legal access to the money, drained the accounts by that afternoon, every penny. Drained it all. A couple days later, the other daughter, who also had access to the money and who was actually paying the bills and taking care of mom for the last decade, comes to the bank and wants to figure out how we're going to take care of the estate, how we're going to take care of the funeral, you know, those kind of things that one would normally do. And when we had to break the bad news, I'm sorry, but your sister already drained the account. It was a very interesting, eye-opening, and in many ways beautiful thing. Because this sister, who had every right and every reason to be disgusted, said, you know, it's okay. It's okay. She got mom's money, but for the last 10 years, I got mom. I got mom. The paralytic who was healed went straight to the temple, straight to the house of God, to proclaim Jesus to anyone who would listen. The blessing of being able to walk was not enough. This man had the wisdom to cherish not only the gift, but more importantly, to cherish the giver. May we learn to do both. Amen.